Hello.
I'm Sally.
I'm Gary. Nice to meet you.
Gary, nice to meet you, darling. And where are you from?
We're from London.
Oh, how fabulous.
Yes.
I love it. Okay.
This is our first time in Texas, time in Dallas.
I'm so glad to have you.
Think Texas and you think Dallas. Think Dallas, and for hundreds of millions of people around the world, that conjures up the South Fork Ranch, home to the oil man J.R. Ewing, scene of one of the most successful TV soap operas there's ever been. It was translated into 67 languages. It aired in 90 countries. It spawned the best-known whodunit the world has ever known. Who shot J.R.? 360 million people around the world tuned in for that episode alone.
This is the second most famous White House. Didn't you know that? Okay.
Many of those fans flock to the South Fork Ranch, where the ebullient Sally Peavy helps them relive the glitz and the glamour that Dallas came to represent.
What people are looking for when they come to South Fork is they're trying to relive, memories. And they're actually, I watched this with my grandmother, or this was the only show that was shown in our country.
Do you think JR would have voted Republican or Democrat?
Okay, well, now I have to say this. If you're saying JR, I mean, JR himself, he might have been a little Republican, but now if you're talking Larry Hagman, I think he might have been a Democrat. Okay, I really don't know for sure.
When Dallas first aired at the end of the 1970s, Texas was still a solid blue state, firmly in the hands of the Democrat Party. By the time this iconic soap's first incarnation came to an end in the early 1990s, Texas had been transformed into a deep red Republican state. And it has stayed like that for the past 25 years. But the huge increase in the Hispanic population has given Democrats hope they can win this state back. That's important because the method for electing American presidents means big population states like Texas have a significant impact on who wins the White House. With the other two giants, California and New York, already firmly Democrat, clinching Texas would make it very difficult indeed for the Republicans to capture the presidency. I'm Gary O'Donoghue, and in The Red and the Blue, the politics of the Lone Star State, I'll be asking whether the Republicans, a party riven by splits on economic and social issues, can beat off this challenge.
Hi there, hi.
Hey.
Nice to meet you.
All
right, this is the Dallas Liberty Center. Guys, this is the BBC.
Hi, BBC.
Hi. So introduce yourself.
What Katrina Pearson calls the Liberty Center is actually the local headquarters of the Tea Party, a small office just off one of the many freeways that criss-cross Dallas. The ultra-conservative Tea Party emerged in response to the financial crisis. Originally, its message was about fiscal responsibility and small government. But nowadays, Tea Party members are just as likely to be campaigning about social issues like abortion and gay marriage. Katrina Pearson is a rising star, and unusually for the Tea Party, which is often associated with older, white voters, she's young, black, and a single mother. As she puts it, so goes Texas, so goes the nation.
The stakes are extremely high, specifically here in Texas, and I think that that's why Texas operates a little bit differently with regards to the Tea Party organizations and the rest of the nation, because we know in Texas that they're coming after us. They want to flip our state. And maybe it's just because, we're just very independent in Texas, but, we'll get beat up and then get right back up on the horse and start working on that next cycle. And I think that's why we've been successful in many of our local and state races and soon to be federal races. It's been a process. But what we do know in Texas and why it's so important for us to work together when it comes to the big issues is because if we lose Texas, we will lose our nation. If the Democrats win Texas in the national election, we'll lose our country for another 100 years.
Really that bad?
It's that bad because of the electoral votes. That's why they're here. That's why Battleground Texas has set up shop, and that's why they want to flip our state, because if they flip Texas, they will own the nation for the next 100 plus years.
That may explain why the political adverts in the race for governor this November are brutal, even by American standards.
March 26, 1993. A pleasant spring day in Seguin.
This one, aired by Democrats, attacking the Republican candidate Greg Abbott, tells the story of a woman who was raped by a vacuum cleaner salesman and then tried to sue the company for not performing the required background checks on its employee.
The woman and her husband went all the way to the Texas Supreme Court, fighting for their right to sue. Six judges, Democrats and Republicans, ruled in their favor, and they won. But Greg Abbott sided with the company against the victim, saying...
The ad doesn't even mention the Democrat candidate, Wendy Davis. It's pure attack. Katrina Pearson isn't surprised.
Well, you know, it is really rough, but I always point back to the founders. If you think politicking in Texas is bad, you should see how John Adams and Thomas Jefferson went at it. It was horrible. But it's that bad because for many of us, it's life and death because it's freedom. And you know what the founders said about freedom. You give me liberty or give me death. And that's what we're fighting for.
Just outside the range here before we go in, there's a banner and it says, if you do not have a gun when you need one, you may not need a gun ever again. It's a chilling thought, isn't it? Let's go inside and have a look, shall we? One of the things that exercises Tea Party Republicans is any threat to what Americans call their Second Amendment rights. That's the constitutional guarantee which allows citizens to own guns. For a British journalist like me, it's hard to understand the centrality of this issue to the way many Americans vote, but it's certainly not a fringe issue. Martha Constant runs the gun shop attached to this firing range. She tells me that gun rights are crucial to the way she votes, and she's passing on her dedication to the next generation.
My daughter is now turning 13 years old at the end of this month, and I married her daddy when she was 6, and so I inherited my daughter. And I was joking with my fiancé before we got married that it was better late than never to start her on shooting. And he looks at me and goes, but she's only 6. I said, I know. I started at the age of 4, so it's better late than never. And when I started her off, before we ever touched a real gun, as I gave her a wooden stock off of a rifle, had no metal parts in it, no trigger, no bolt, could not hold a round. And she had to demonstrate perfect respect for the piece of wood as though it were a rifle before I would ever let her come to the range to go shooting. And then here they have a system where you lose colors if you act bad during the day. So she had to keep her green mark all day, showing that she didn't misbehave at school to earn one bullet. If she came home with a yellow mark saying she'd misbehaved, she didn't get her bullet for the day. But if she'd been bad and got a red mark for the day, not only did she not get her bullet for the day, but she had to go to her little bullet bank, get one out, and hand it back to me. So she actually lost 2. And so once she'd earned 10 bullets, she was allowed to come to the range with Mommy, and Mommy would take her shooting. And she would get 10 rounds and a bolt-action 22 rifle that she had to shoot very slowly and demonstrate perfect respect on the range and perfect safety.
With mothers rewarding children with bullets, it's no wonder that Texas is one of those states where most politicians would hesitate before advocating any gun control. But many conservative Republicans are agitating hard to relax the law further so handguns can be carried openly in the street. For the Tea Party and its supporters, it's about limiting government and preserving the Constitution. And Martha is not untypical in the importance she places on the issue when she votes.
There are more two-legged varmints in the world than there are four-legged varmints. And there are more people with malicious intent now than I think we've ever faced in the past. And having been the victim of a sexual assault once, I will refuse to be a victim a second time. Anyone who says they're going to try and take away my guns obviously will not get my vote. Because I not only believe in the right to carry a firearm and have been carrying since I was 21 and I'm now 35, I have been legally carrying every day of my life since then, and I will always vote for the people as long as the rest of their policies stand true to everything else we believe in, that I won't let anyone take away my guns willingly.
Those on the conservative wing of the Republican Party say that despite controlling the legislature in Texas, mainstream Republicans have failed to push through any new gun rights laws in years. The conservatives have a name for the mainstreamers. They call them rhinos, Republicans in name only. Here's Russ Ramsland's analysis of what's going on inside the Republican Party. He's a major Tea Party backer and someone who advised the Reagan White House in the 1980s.
I think the grassroots let them alone for too long. And the party became a party that espoused conservative principles, but in truth was just as happy to have big government and be crony capitalists as are the left today. And the battle within the Republican Party is whether or not the Reaganite type people, who are true conservatives, regain the ascendancy, or whether a crony capitalist Republican elite keeps control. Right now, I'd say the elite still have more of the levers of power in their hands, but their numbers are diminishing.
Split parties don't win, though, do they?
No. As the Whigs and the Republicans proved, one faction or another eventually has to disappear, unless you have someone like a Ronald Reagan who can come in and unify. In this particular area, once the primaries are over, then everybody jumps in. And we think part of our job is to turn out the vote. We're not an appendage of the Republican Party. We're conservatives. But that's the only place we have to play the game right now. And so what we're doing is we're going through and systematically replacing the big government Republicans with true small, limited, not small government, limited government Republicans. There's a difference between small government and limited government. We believe in limited government.
So this is a sort of an attempted takeover from the bottom up rather than a coup from the top down.
That's exactly how Reagan did it. He was a bottom-up guy.
How long will it take?
Well, Reagan had to run twice. I don't know. But we've been at it for a while.
Listen to The Wade Emmert Show every Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM.
Wade Emmert is no shock jock or fulminating conservative talk show host. But he is a Republican and does have a weekly political radio program.
866-660-5759. I hope you enjoyed the Cowboy victory this afternoon.
His day job, though, is to run the Dallas County Republican Party, and not just fend off the resurgent challenge from the Democrats, but also to unite the warring factions within the party ahead of November's elections. He's a pragmatic Republican who believes that the party can't afford to retreat into a narrow conservatism.
In the short term, Texas is solidly conservative. In the long term, it's an open question. If Republicans don't continue to evolve, if we don't continue to bring in younger people into the party, if we don't continue to reach out to Hispanics and African Americans, then I think any state party, of course, should be concerned. We're in a good position now, but we can't be complacent. We have to continue to reach out to new voters.
But you're a split party, aren't you? That's the problem. And split parties, it's difficult for them to convey an overall message.
I don't see us as a split party as much as I see the Republican Party as just a group of constituencies. So, for example, you may have people who consider themselves mainstream Republicans. That is a group. You may see people who identify with the Republican Party because they are socially conservative. You may see people who identify with the Republican Party because they're fiscally conservative, or some that believe in a strong national defense, or some that are pro-business. So people come to the Republican Party for many different reasons. To say we're split, I just don't think that's accurate. I think we're a group of different constituencies, but your point is well taken. We need to have a consistent message. And so what is that message going to be?
And what is it going to be?
Well, I think that's the challenge for the party. In my mind, the message is freedom and opportunity. I think that resonates among everyone. It's when we get into more of the social issues that I think that speaks strongly to some people, but it doesn't resonate with everybody. So I think we as a party need to focus on the things, the commonalities amongst our constituencies.
Well, normally this time of year I'd be going to the political conferences in Britain, up and down the country to places like Manchester and Birmingham and Glasgow. And instead I've swapped all that for the Texas Tribune Festival here in Austin, the administrative capital of the state. Now, it's going to be a weekend full of politicians talking about everything from abortion to gay marriage to what to do with illegal immigrants. So let's hear what they've all been saying.
If you're against gay marriage, you should be for gay divorce.
Here at the Tribune Festival, the subject of gay marriage is right up there when it comes to Republican divisions. Many in the mainstream, conscious that public opinion is shifting on the issue, want the party to move on and accept that increasing numbers of states are allowing same-sex marriage, whereas those on the right see it as fundamental to stemming the liberal agenda personified by President Obama. Here's two senior influential Republicans demonstrating the difference.
I'm Mark McKinnon. I'm co-chair of the Texas Freedom to Marry campaign, and I'm a former advisor to George W. Bush.
And my name is Matt Krause. I'm in the Texas House of Representatives, House District 93.
Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you, this issue of gay marriage inside the Republican Party, is it a cause of a long-term split, or is this something that will be resolved and the party will move on?
Well, I think that the Supreme Court's going to resolve it for us within the next year or two, and then I think the Republican Party will move on. My advice has been for the Republicans to get ahead of the curve and where the country's headed. 60% of young Republicans under 30 support marriage equality. So that's the way the country's headed. That's the way young Republicans are headed. And so I'd like to just see the party get out in front of it.
I agree with Mark that I think eventually it will be settled, but I think it's okay to have a robust debate within the party and talk about different things. At the end of the day, I still think it's better for our party and better for society to maintain that traditional definition of marriage, but we'll see where it goes in the Republican Party.
And if I could just add to that, I think that in order for us to maintain our message about expanding freedom, limiting government, and building stronger families, Republicans should be in support of marriage equality.
All Republicans, I'm sure, from both sides of the party believe in smaller government, really, less interference. Why has this become such a political issue?
Well, I think Mark and I would disagree whether marriage equality promotes limited government or bigger government. I happen to think changing the definition of marriage will actually create bigger government and make our government expand.
Yeah, no, I think that marriage equality means that we protect people through the covenants of marriage and saves people from going into the social safety net. So I'd say it does limit government.
Do you both agree that parties that are split over big issues like this don't look good to the electorate?
I think that the train's left the station, it's not going back, and it'd make us look less regressive and more progressive for the Republican Party to get on the train.
There used to be a thing in Britain where a senior conservative politician turned around one day and said the problem with our party is we're seen as the nasty party. Is there a danger that the Republicans are going to get seen as the nasty party?
I think that's a part of the problem is that Republicans have gone from being compassionate conservatives to caustic conservatives, and I think we need to embrace marriage equality and greater freedom for everybody.
Caustic conservatism?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think you can stand true to your principles, you just do it in the right way. Ronald Reagan was famous for saying he's a happy warrior, and I think a lot of the Republicans have gotten away from that. We come across as caustic or upset. I think it's okay to stand for your principles and values, articulate it in a way that makes you seem like you're for something, not against something. I think Republicans need to do a better job.
You're listening to The Red and the Blue, the politics of the Lone Star State, here on BBC World Service with me, Gary O'Donoghue. Texas shares a 2,000-kilometre border with Mexico. Illegal immigration is a huge problem here. And what to do about illegal immigration is another source of tension inside the Republican Party.
So I'm here in Laredo, which is right on the border with Mexico. In fact, we're standing at just about 15 metres or so from the Rio Grande River, which is the border itself. And at this point, it's only about 200 or 300 metres wide, and law enforcement and border security patrol this area because it's a big point for bringing in drugs, it's a big point for bringing in illegal immigrants. Something like 8,000 illegal immigrants a month are being apprehended in southern Texas and across the border here, right up to the Gulf of Mexico. It's a huge problem, but it's actually lower than it was a few months ago. But it's a huge problem for the state and for the U.S. itself.
A lot of times, you know, when it's illegal immigration and even drug smuggling, they swim across with rafts, okay, makeshift rafts, and they put the dope in there or just the tire tubes, and they swim it across.
The sheriff here in Laredo, Martin Cuellar, is of Mexican descent. He's cautious to stay out of the political debate on immigration, but he sees the human cost all the time.
It's very dangerous. I mean, we've seen a lot of people that end up, you know, in the middle of the river, you know, where they're drowned.
they just drown on the way over.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to sound cold, but, you know, a lot of times when you see this over and over and over, you know, it's just another day at work. It's just the way it is. You know, for my guys, it's like another day at work.
Because it's nonstop.
It's nonstop. It's something normal.
The border issue is central to the political debate here, and the Republican governor of Texas, Rick Perry, has angered many on the right of his own party for passing laws to educate the children of illegal immigrants who end up in the state. The two wings of the party are also split over how to handle the estimated 11 million illegals who are already inside the United States, with some mainstream Republicans favouring some kind of path to citizenship, something most Tea Party members would regard as a sellout. Here's Katrina Pearson again, adamant that the GOP, grand old party, as the establishment Republicans have been known, are getting it wrong yet again.
It's another thing that is disturbing from the Tea Party aspect with Republican Party division is because the Republican Party seems to think that by giving amnesty or supporting some sort of amnesty with Barack Obama as president, it's going to gain them some votes with the Hispanic community, and we know from history that's not true. Even when Ronald Reagan was president and gave the amnesty, Hispanics are still voting Democrat. And the fact of the matter is, Republicans cannot compete with free. And that's what they would have to do essentially to gain some of these votes. We have almost half this nation on some sort of subsidization, and they think that by pandering, which is always the wrong way to go when you're dealing with humanity, is going to win them some political points. When Republicans need to be doing is putting forth policies economically and socially that would help empower the individual to be successful. Those are the policies that always win.
The difficulty for people like Katrina is that while they're fighting their internal battles, the rising Hispanic population in Texas is giving Democrats real hope that they can take this state in the coming years. Hispanics tend to vote Democrat and are often driven away by the more strident messages coming out of the Tea Party on issues like immigration. Here's Matt Makowiak, a Republican strategist and insider.
Now, I do think nationally, some Republicans, a few Republicans, have used language on the immigration issue in ways that have been unhelpful. There's no question about that. I think that you don't see that very much in Texas. Part of that is we have proximity with Mexico. We understand the importance of the cross-border commerce. We have families on both sides. We have people who have land on both sides. We have people who have businesses on both sides. So it is a different issue in Texas than it is in other states. Look, it's theoretical. If you're in the Midwest, you're in the Northeast, you're in the far West, the Hispanic vote in Mexico may be a theoretical issue. In Texas, it's very practical. I was struck the other day, I heard that Governor Perry has invited the border Mexican governors to his inaugural, the last several times he's been inaugurated as governor. And again, I think that's an indication of the relationship that we have with Mexico here.
All across this country, people are waking up and saying what we're doing is not working. People are hurting tragically, and we need to turn this country around. There is a better way, a brighter future. How do we win? How do we inspire young people? Number one, we tell the truth.
One trump card the Republicans in Texas have is this man, Senator Ted Cruz, a darling of the Tea Party, and himself a Latino.
Freedom of religion, and that means, among other things, not having the IRS ask citizens, tell me the content of your prayers. We need to stand for the second...
Republicans like George Ann Tuna hope that Senator Cruz will help reassure the Hispanic vote. Mr. Ann Tuna is also Latino and has set up the Hispanic Republicans of Texas, urging a calmer debate on immigration.
It is a challenge more than anything else, and I see it as a challenge to be able to get more Latinos into the party. And for the most part, we've been doing rather well in Texas. I mean, Texas, you have 35% to 40% on any given time or any election of Latinos voting Republican. And a lot of times, Latinos vote for the candidate, and I think that's where it's at.
Why is the immigration issue so full of heat here?
For the most part, what you're looking at is individuals that, you know, that don't necessarily see it on a daily basis. If you're in Dallas, Texas, or if you're in the panhandle of Texas, we're in South Texas. I see it every single day where we are looking at individuals that have to fill a lot of job vacancies, specifically in the agriculture business and the meat processing business and things of that nature. We need that kind of labor, and that Americans are not stepping up to take over some of those spots.
How worried are you that the growth in the Hispanic population here actually makes this state, the likelihood of turning blue, much more likely?
I think Latinos need to get involved, and I think they don't do enough of it. And I think a lot of it they don't do enough of it because they come from oppressive political countries.
Why does your party, though, trail behind in terms of getting Hispanic votes?
I think a lot of it, once again, is messaging. And at the same time, we need to get more Latino Republicans elected so that when Latinos in general go to the ballot box, they're able to see somebody that they can identify with.
Texas has always been a frontier state, whether it be the push westwards by the pioneers or the front line of the debate on immigration from the South. But this state is also a new political frontier. The Democrats are some way off winning any big races here, but they believe the momentum is on their side, though complacency risks them assuming that the new predominantly Hispanic votes will all come to them. Republicans know that Texas is innately conservative and should be a banker for them if they're smart. But internal divisions mean they're looking inward more than is good for them. What both sides know is that Texas could be key to the whole country's political future. I'm Gary O'Donoghue. The Red and the Blue was produced by Arlene Gregorius and Carney Sharp. Document.